Good morning. Before I commence today, I just need to provide some details around how you can access the Q&A area to provide your questions so that our team of experts can answer your questions as we go through this Q&A. And then I'll jump in at the end after I've presented, and I'll also be able to join the question and answer session. So the first thing that you need to do is make sure that you have signed into Livestream. Otherwise, you won't be able to access the Q&A functions. So make sure that you have set up an account on Livestream and that you are signed in. And once you do start signing in, this is where you can go through and start asking questions as I go through the different topics. And because we will be going through several different topics today, you know, there is definitely a lot of scope for you to ask questions on items that I may only give, you know, a small amount of information on, but if it's something that you do need more, more valuable information on that's related to your role or your questions, let us know and our team will get through to it and they'll escalate anything that's required. So when it comes to the name that you use when posting questions, if you can use the format first name, initials, and then last name and number, just to make sure that there's not two people with a similar name posting, so that you can post the question and we can easily identify who it is. And what this means is that if there's anything that we do need to chase up after the session is finished, it makes it a lot easier for us to identify who's registered and what your contact details are so that we can get this additional information through to you. So other things to be aware of here is that because there will be multiple people answering the questions as this is being delivered, different people with different focus areas may be addressing other questions before they get to yours. So the questions won't necessarily get answered in the sequence in which they do arrive. So if you have asked a question, be patient. There'll be someone who will get around to that to give you an answer, rather than just asking the same question over and over while you're waiting for a response. So my name's Mark O'Shea. I'm based in Sydney, Australia, and I'm an MVP for Windows and Devices for IT. And in today's topic, we'll be covering preparing your environment and deploying Windows 10. So we've had several months of Windows 10 being in market now, so there have been quite a few things we've learned and our knowledge levels in general are, you know, a lot greater than they were when the first discussions around Windows 10 first started. So in this session, we'll talk about how you can go through and look at deployments, and what we'll be focusing on in the initial part of this is on the upgrade in place option. So this is something that Microsoft has pushed very hard with Windows 10. And those of you working with you know, home PCs, for example, or non-domain joined machines have probably already been through the process of upgrading several machines already. But now it's something where you start thinking about how do you start using something like System Center, Configuration Manager especially, to go through and do these deployments inside your organization. So the focus there is going to be on in-place upgrade using System Center Configuration Manager, but I'll also give a just a quick preview for those of you who haven't seen it yet of what that upgrade desktop experience looks like for end users. So we won't spend a lot of time on that, but I'll show you it quickly from a Windows 7 machine so you can see what it is if you haven't seen it already. Then we'll switch gears and we'll start talking about how do you manage line of business apps with Microsoft Intune. So Microsoft Intune is a cloud service that Microsoft provides that gives you capabilities such as mobile application and mobile device management. And in this case, we won't really be focused on the mobile device management. It's really the managing and deployment of mobile applications. So what are the different ways we can work with Windows 10 to deploy applications out to devices that may not be on our corporate networks, may not be domain joined, they may not be managed by a configuration manager, but we still want to make sure that they're getting the latest versions of different types of apps pushed out to them. Then the final module is provisioning packages using the Windows Image Configuration Designer. So this is a new tool that was introduced to start giving you different ways of building base images with Windows, but the context that we'll focus on here is how do you take an out-of-box device that a user brings in and say, well, I want to apply certain settings without necessarily doing a domain join or without spending quite a while customizing it. And this is where we can start using provisioning packages to make it really easy to deploy these settings. Then the final thing we'll cover off is I'll talk about some of the resources and most importantly, a lot of the demonstration environment that I'm using today is actually being delivered via a demonstration environment that you can download directly from the TechNet Evaluation Center. So the System Center Configuration Manager pieces, as well as the Windows Image Configuration Designer elements that we cover, these are things that you can get a hold of very, very easily using the Technet Evaluation Center, and there's a Windows 10 deployment kit that I'll reference right in the final piece of the resources. So let's jump in now and take a look at in-place upgrade. So that Microsoft is more heavily promoting the idea of in-place upgrade, does that mean that it's the end of wipe and reload? Well, it's one of those questions that doesn't necessarily have a pure yes or no answer. It's generally going to be, it depends. But if you've got well-managed PCs that that you don't have issues with, that you want to move forward and maintain the user settings, the applications they've got installed, for example, without having to transfer settings off and then apply them afterwards, then running the in-place upgrade is definitely something that is worth considering. Now, this is something that Microsoft's been using for all of those end user devices that have been upgrading to Windows 10 across the internet. So the 100 million plus devices that have been upgraded this way is testament to the fact that this is actually a very, very solid process and works incredibly well. Now, we can go through and we can do that new imaging without going through and doing any customization. We just use the standard Windows image file to do the deployment, and it makes it very, very simple for us to do this. So this means that we don't need to go through all of those initial build processes around, do I have the right drivers? Do I have the right versions of the apps, et cetera? If the device has already got those things, we can apply the Windows 10 image over the top as an upgrade in place and know that we'll come out the other end of that process with a Windows 10 device. And I'll show this to you as we go through the session. So now when we take a look at the in-place upgrade options and process, let's take a look at some of the things that are required here. So if we take a look at what enterprises have got here, it will be a mix of Windows 7, hopefully not too much Windows 8, seeing that it's already gone end of support that customers would need to move across to Windows 8.1. But consumers can get it delivered by a Windows update, and this is the one we've probably already seen. But obviously, if you're managing PCs inside an organization, you really want more granular control over how this process takes place. So this is where you can use Configuration Manager or the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit to go through and manage this process for you. And we'll have some slides coming up that will give you an indication as to when and where should you use Configuration Manager versus MDT. But if you're looking at upgrading a small number of machines, but you want to automate the process and you don't have Configuration Manager deployed, well, I'd treat Configuration Manager as a separate process. It's not a project that you should be rolling in with the Windows 10 upgrade for a small number of PCs. Instead, the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit might make that an easier process. So as I mentioned, this uses the standard Windows 10 image. So you don't go through and create a custom image, you just use the image that Microsoft provides. Now, these images do get updated on a regular basis. So those of you with volume license subscriptions or those of you with MSDN subscriptions have probably already seen that, as of today, so we're in March, that we've got the February update build of 15.11 that is available for download. So you could definitely use that to really, really get as close as possible to the most recent builds and updates before you, as you start rolling that out. And as I mentioned, it preserves the existing applications, it keeps the existing settings, it keeps the existing drivers. And what it also does is it gives you a 30-day window to roll back to the previous version of Windows if you do have any problems. Because even though it does a great job of catching known applications that have got that may have issues and preventing an upgrade, if you're using some lesser known applications or you're using applications that you've built in-house, these are things that the Windows upgrade process may not necessarily know about. So you've always got that safety net that you can rely on. So if we take a look at the basics in terms of the upgrade process itself, we start off with an earlier version of Windows. The initial data and settings are captured. It moves them across to the new OS, and then basically once everything's restored, it restarts and you've got Windows 10 ready for that user to sign in. So let's take a look at why would you upgrade versus why would you do just a brand new image deployment? So the main one here is just to really try to reduce that amount of upfront testing that you need to do. So the idea here is we can make it really simple for you to go through and do this, do an in-place upgrade of existing machines in a very fast time frame. So here they're talking, on average of 30 to 60 minutes for a PC to upgrade. So this is a very, very fast process, and the machine starts up with everything in place as the user left it. So it's also smaller because all we need is the default OS media to be copied across to the PC. So we're talking about roughly just over 3 gig per PC that's copied down to the local device. So we don't need to worry about applications. We don't need to worry about drivers as part of this. We don't need to worry about any additional customizations. It's just that simple Windows win file that we use. And as I mentioned, we've got this bulletproof rollback functionality available to us as well. So if anything does go wrong, we can roll back to that previous version. And we see this, if we look through the file system, we'll see that we've got a windows.old folder that will hang around until that expiry period is up. Now, also important here is that we don't need to go through and use any of the assessment deployment kit capabilities to leverage this. It's a very, very simple process. And what is suggested here is, you know, using it to supplement the existing scenario. So if you've already got refresh scenarios, you know, replace scenarios, building out brand new images, this is just another option you can add to your arsenal so that you've got more options to make the future deployments to new PCs or to refresh existing PCs even easier. So some of the considerations you need to think about is making sure that, you know, when things are working at the driver level, so you know, system utilities especially. So one of the things that gets called out is third-party disk encryption tools, making sure that what you've got there is supported by the Windows upgrade process. And as I mentioned, even though it's going to have a very good idea of you know, commercial applications that may not be compatible and give you warnings about those, if it's something that Windows team wasn't aware of and weren't able to test against, it's not something that they can really do any testing against. So when would you choose not to do an in-place upgrade? Well, really the main thing here is based on the type of changes that you want to make as you go through that upgrade process. So if someone doesn't really want to do an upgrade, they actually want to go through and change some significant pieces here. So if we take a look at some of the changes that are being called out here, things like switching from BIOS to UEFI, well, that's something that's not supported. If someone wants to change the disk structure, if someone wants to use a custom WinPE, for example, these are some of the things that are going to be problematic. Now, other things that won't be supported or that aren't recommended here and not supported are things such as if someone wants to change from 32-bit to 64-bit, that's a whole new OS deployment, so you wouldn't use in-place upgrade. Changing the domain a machine is part of, changing the base language, you know, these are obviously things that are important. If someone wants to apply a customized version of Windows 10, that's also not something that's going to work. Now, the final piece here is, well, what if someone says, well, we also want to do, you know, we want to upgrade Office at the same time, we want to upgrade the line of business apps at the same time. Well, once you get to the point where you're making all of those changes to the base image, then, you know, it's probably at that stage that you really should be looking at doing a refresh rather than doing an in-place upgrade. So when we jump in now and take a look at what some of the deployment options are for an in-place upgrade, we've really broken it down into three different options around, you know, the manual scenarios, the light touch using the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, and zero touch using Configuration Manager. And here you'll see that it breaks it down in terms of roughly how many devices are there. So for a manual scenario, you know, less than 10 devices. For light touch, you know, less than 250 devices. But if you've got less than 250 devices, but you've already got Configuration Manager deployed, obviously it would be a great idea to use Configuration Manager because it's probably one of the reasons why you deployed it. But obviously the larger the organization, the more an investment in something like Config Manager really starts to make for you. So then when we take a look at what the interaction is, once we do look at these methods, then that manual approach has got high interaction because we don't need to do a lot to prepare for it. So we need to do a bit as we're doing each individual deployment. With light touch, it's a very low interaction on each device. And then with zero touch, it's something that we can make incredibly automated so that as admins, we don't need to spend time at devices making sure that they do go through the update process, which obviously the larger the number of PCs we're dealing with, the better this process is going to be for us. Now, I won't go through all of these in any real detail, but instead it's just to point out that there have been additional command line switches added to the Windows 10 setup. So if you are going through and using tools like MDT and setting up task sequences in Configuration Manager, but you do have additional setup switches that you can start looking at here. So things like installing the language packs, installing additional drivers, etc., adding in your product key, doing unattended installs, which we've been able to do for a while. You know, so make sure that you are aware of what the new setup switches are, and these are well documented up on TechNet. And I've got a link at the end of the slide that will sort of take you to the TechNet Resource Center for Windows 10, which you really should use as a launch pad to get access to a lot more Windows 10 deployment information. So when we take a look at the zero touch process, so when we talk about zero touch, remember that zero touch is when we are using Configuration Manager for deployment. You know, we're using Zero Touch because in this case, we've already got Configuration Manager set up, we've got a site ready, we've got it ready to start deploying Windows 10. So in this case, it's really easy for us to start leveraging that Config Manager infrastructure. So if we need to replicate to different distribution points around the network, this is something that we can do very easily before we start doing the deployments. So in this case, the clients are deployed. They need to be running at least Windows 7 because remember, that's the, you know, the oldest version of Windows that this will update. But what you also need is Windows 10 Media. Now, for those of you who are planning on downloading the Windows 10 deployment virtual machines that you can get from the TechNet Evaluation Center, just some important points to note here is that you will need to grab some Windows 7 media. So if you go to your volume license subscription or your MSDN subscription, you can grab the media from there for, you know, just say Windows 7 Pro or Enterprise. And then you can also grab your Windows 10 media from there as well. So again, you know, Pro or Enterprise, making sure that it, you know, that it's something that you do have license for. So if you're just using the evaluation media, it won't allow you to perform all of these steps. Now for the task sequence setup, you can download the task sequence capability or the task sequence that's already been built for you by the Windows team. So this is something that there'll be a link to in the documentation for the kit that I'll reference at the end. So you don't need to build out this task sequence, but I will show you what's involved with that so you can actually see the different steps. And we won't walk through it in great detail because there's not actually that much to the sequence that has been created. And then once we've done that, you know, we make sure it's out to the different distribution points, because we don't want to be pulling, you know, just over 3 gig per machine down across wide area networks. We want to be trying to pull those down from a local distribution point. So when it comes to in-place upgrades, what are the things that we can do for preparation? So preparing for content distribution. So as I mentioned, you know, the upgrade package is, you know, is just over 3 gig, getting close to 4 gig when you look at the 64-bit deployments. So making sure that you've got a good plan to get content out, timing things appropriately so that people are pulling it down once it is down at a local level. Now, if there are other types of content caching technologies that you use in your organization, make sure that they are fully aware of this and ready to take advantage of the of this. Now, for planning the pilot, who will be part of the Windows 10 pilot process? So a lot of the time it might be the, you know, those of you who are in the IT teams, but also making sure that you've got people who are working with the critical line of business applications, the critical web applications, because obviously there's a new version of Internet Explorer included. There's also the new Microsoft Edge browser included. So making sure that you've got a wide variety of people in your organization that are able to go through and test some of these new capabilities. Now, also important is that there are some new group policy templates available, so new ADMX files have been available to download for quite a while. So make sure you grab those and, where necessary, start looking at implementing things like WMI filtering to apply different settings to Windows 10 devices versus the older versions of Windows that you've got. And then the final one, as I've mentioned before, is if you are using any things like any, you know, system-level utilities like disk encryption tools, you know, make sure that they're compatible, work with the vendor, find out what the steps are that you need to use before you try to initiate the upgrade process. So before we move on and take a look at some more of the details via a demonstration, another important thing to cover is around, well, what version of Windows Server do I need to have? You know, what level of Active Directory schema, you know, or what schema extensions do I need? What functional levels do I need at the domain and forest levels? And in this case, Windows 10 works with all supported Windows Server versions. So probably the most important thing there is that we are talking about Windows Server 2008 upwards, remembering that Windows Server 2003 went end of support last year. So, effectively, that 2008 version is the starting point that we should be looking at. Now, there have been Windows Server or WSUS updates that have been made available to support Windows 10, so make sure that you have kept your WSUS servers patched. There's also the Windows update for business capabilities through group policy. So those of you who don't use WSUS and instead just pull updates down from the internet, make sure that you take a look at the Windows 10 group policy settings in the area that you normally be configuring WSUS or Windows update settings to take a look at what the options are for deferring updates and deferring upgrades for Windows 10. Now, some of the things to make sure that you do. So don't use Windows 7 security templates, because obviously things are very different with Windows 10. And that's something that will be covered in one of the later webinars in this series. And as I mentioned, making sure that you're using WMI filters to limit the versions of Windows that some of the different group policy objects apply to, because if you're trying to apply settings from a Windows 7 environment to Windows 10 or vice versa, you're not necessarily going to get the results you want. So let's take a look now at what's involved in upgrading to Windows 10 with System Center Configuration Manager. So I'll just jump out of the presentation and we'll switch to one of the servers. So what I've got here is a Windows 7 client and a Windows Server VM running with Configuration Manager. And the first thing that I want to show you here are the sample files, and these are Microsoft provided files. I'll provide the link to how you get a hold of these later in the presentation. But what you do from here is you basically extract them, and that will give you the upgrade scripts, and we'll see more information on these upgrade scripts as we go through. But as you can see, these are PowerShell scripts with information around what's required around setup, pre-setup requirements, etc. As we do go through and start building out task sequences. But if we go back, the other thing that you'll see in here in this media file, this is where I've had to manually extract the contents of a Windows 10 DVD or ISO. So in this case, it's Windows 10 Enterprise that I've extracted out to here. And that's effectively going to be the source for what is copied out to the machines across the network. So now, as we jump into System Center Configuration Manager, some of the important things in here that we'll see is that we've got some different clients included in here. We've got the different Windows 7 clients. And what I want to do here is I've got a Windows 7 client that hasn't actually been made a part of a device collection yet. And I've already gone through the process of assigning the devices to, or the previous devices to a device collection. So what I want to do here is add it to an existing device collection, in this case, the in-place upgrade. So I'll just say okay to that. Now, that machine that we're connecting, that we're applying that to, if we jump across, that's this PC here. And if we take a look at this PC, we just need to scroll a little bit to make sure everything gets on screen. If we go into Control Panel, you'll see that I've already got the Configuration Manager client installed down on here. So if I click on this and then we take a look at the components, we can see it's installed, it's enabled. But importantly then, when we go to Actions, what we then want to do is go to the Machine Policy Retrieval and Evaluation Cycle, and we want to run that now. So I'll just say OK to kick that off. Now, what's going to happen shortly is that that machine is going to start initiating a process to do the in-place upgrade. So we can, depending on how we go for time, we might get a chance to come back and take a look at what happens with that one. But meanwhile, in the background, if we take a look at some other things that we've got in here, if we take a look at the task sequence that has already been set up here, and take a look at the properties here. Oops. This is where we can effectively see what the task sequence details are. So we can start taking a look through those, so we can take a look at the readiness. So checking readiness. So what are the things we need to check before we try to do the setup? So making sure that we meet the minimum machine requirements in terms of the amount of free disk space, the processor speed, the amount of free memory. And you can then see, we can walk through the different steps. You'll see that this is where the pre-setup.ps1 PowerShell script we saw earlier is there. And what you'll see here is that we're actually going through and effectively part of the process is that we do copy everything down to the local machine, and then we run that setup locally. So that way we basically do a, you know, a setup from that local PC. Now there's more steps involved here, and these are ones that I haven't had to configure whatsoever. These have basically just been the ones that have been downloaded from Microsoft, and they're good to go. So that's really just a very quick look at some of the things around how we can work with doing that deployment in Configuration Manager. And it's a quick process, so we can come back hopefully later in the session if we don't run out of time and see how that virtual machine is progressing. So let's move on now to, if we were sitting there watching that machine go through the process of doing the upgrades, then the pieces that we can start seeing from here is, if we were following it, first of all, we'd start seeing the task sequence would kick off. And after a short time period, after it had copied all the files down, it would initiate a shutdown of that machine, of that client device. And then once the client device has shut down and then it restarts, it starts up into Windows recovery environment. And with the Windows recovery environment, it will go through and it will then start copying across the necessary files. And then as it keeps progressing through that, we'll get to the first initial boot of the new operating system, at which point it will make sure that drivers, et cetera, are installed as needed. And then as we keep going, we'll get another restart. And then once we get to that second boot to the new operating system, this is where we finally get to the point where, you know, we're almost ready. It's in, at this point, it's saying we're 81% complete in total and at 24% of configuration settings up to 91%. So then if we just skip through that until it completes, then we get to the point where as a user, we can come back to the device, we can sign in and effectively jump straight in and be ready to use the new operating system immediately. And as I mentioned earlier, that's something that takes roughly 30 to 60 minutes, depending on the size of the power of your machine. So some of the important factors, you know, especially things like disk speed. So something with mechanical drives versus SSDs would see differences in the amount of time that it takes. So with the in-place upgrade story out of the way, let's move on now and start discussing how we can manage line of business apps with Microsoft Intune. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Intune, remember that, as I said at the beginning of the recording, is that we can use Intune to deliver you know, applications to Windows 10. So we've got the ability to manage applications and deploy applications. We can manage mobile devices. And with Windows 10, we can either treat it as a mobile device and just use pure MDM capabilities, which don't require an agent, or alternatively, we can go through the process of installing an Intune agent onto that PC, so we can manage it as more of a traditional PC type of scenario. So what can we start deploying to Windows 10 when we start managing it with Intune? So we can do the sideloading of AppX files, so your Windows Store type apps, or, you know, whether they're Windows Store apps, whether they're in-house custom apps. We can do deep links to Windows Store apps, and that's the demonstration that I'll show you. But you can also deploy Win32 apps via MSI files and .exe setup options, as well as provide links to websites for SaaS apps, for example. So you've got a bit of flexibility here in terms of how you can go through and start rolling out these different types of applications to your Windows 10 devices. And in this case, you know, we're not dependent on any kind of internal infrastructure for this. In this case, this is all cloud-based. So if the Win32 apps that we need to deploy are our, you know, it might be our custom photo editing software, it might be our custom productivity software, these are things we can actually store in the cloud with Intune, and then Intune can do cloud-based deployments out to those different devices on the internet without the users having to go through and download the application first manually, or without them having to go through and get a VPN connection back into the office, for example. Now, we can also go through and start looking at things like, depending on how we do the deployment, we can, you know, and the different types of apps, some apps can be pushed to users so that effectively it becomes compulsory for the users or the devices to have those apps. But we can also have it so that users can also start selecting applications directly from the Intune company portal. And this is what I'll show you during the demonstration. So let's jump in now and take a look at deploying apps using Microsoft Intune. So let me jump back across to one of the virtual machines here. And we can get rid of some of the VMs that we don't need. Now, because this has been sitting inactive for a while, it's probably going to ask me to re-authenticate. So I'll try to get that process out of the way right now. And that should just take a moment. So I'll give a quick tour of the Intune user interface for those of you who aren't familiar with it, just so that you've got a starting point and a reference point for some of the things that I'll talk about. So as I said, it definitely does want me to re-authenticate, so I'll just sign back in. And we'll give it a few seconds and we'll be back in and I can just show you some top level capabilities with Intune. So if we start off with the Intune dashboard, this is just a sample environment I've got set up, and you can see here I've got quite a few devices that I've connected up to it, but I haven't maintained them all. So this is something where I probably really need to come in and do some maintenance to make sure things look a little bit cleaner. But it tells us stories around, do we need to apply updates? Is endpoint protection up to date? What's the breakdown of the different devices in our organization? If we've got devices that have been quarantined, if we've got devices that have been blocked. These are all things that we can see quite easily through here. Now, the main thing that I do want to focus on today is really around, the managing Windows 10 devices and deploying apps. So there's really two different things to focus on here, first of all. So the first one something that I've already covered, but it's worth highlighting here, is that if we go to the different devices that I've got set up here, you'll see that I've got under all computers, it's just showing that I've got this one Windows 10 computer here. So when you see Windows 10 and device type computer, what that's telling us is that this is being managed by Intune, but using the Intune agent which had to be installed on the device. So in this case, this is being treated as a PC as opposed to being treated by a mobile device. Now, once we get across to all mobile devices and take a look in there, you'll see that I've actually got a whole bunch of additional Windows 10 PCs in here. But in this case, so all of these ones that's saying desktop, for example, we can see quite clearly that they're all Windows 10 machines. But in this case, they're being managed via things such as Azure Active Directory, and in this case, Intune. So it's showing me that we've got two different ways of managing Windows 10. And in the session next week on managing mobile devices, you should get a little bit more information on potentially on some of these topics. Now, for the apps side, what I want to focus on here is just showing you some of the different ways we can add apps in. So the first way that we can add apps is if we say, let's add an app. And at this point, it just needs to launch a small app. And in this case, it's the Intune software publisher. So that's just loading up in the background. So we'll just give that a second to fire up. I just need to authenticate again. And it's always good when you type in the correct password when you're doing live demonstrations. And what we start doing here is when we take a look at the way that we publish apps from within Intune, is you can see we've got multiple selections here. So we've got software installer, external link, and managed iOS app from the store. So we're not talking about iOS today, we're talking about Windows 10. So we've got the option of doing the software installer, and this is where we can deploy XE or MSI type setups out to Windows 10 devices that have got the Intune agent installed. Or the other option that we've got here is we can go through the process of, instead of software installer, actually, if we take a look at some of the other options there, this is where you'll also see things like the AppX file and the AppX bundle options. So some of the additional capabilities, but also, as I mentioned, the ability to do Windows installer installations through just pure MDM. So no agent is required on the device for those. It's just a matter of, in this case, joining the device to our Intune subscription. But I don't want those options today. The option that I want today is an external link. So with the external link, the one that I want to use here is, if I just do a quick search for, I want to add the Excel mobile app for Windows. So I'll just do a quick search. And that looks like the app just there. So that's also because I'm running this remotely on a Windows 10 machine, it's trying to launch the Windows Store as well. So I'll just close that quickly. Now, the first thing that I want to do while I'm on this page, I just want to save that Excel image because we'll use that in just a second. But all I need to do here is grab that URL, take it across to the Intune page, Intune software distribution page, add it in, and now it's going through and verifying it to see what type of link it is. And at that point, you'll see that some additional items have popped up over on the left-hand side. So it's also telling me that I can continue through now. So when I click next, being a little bit slow here. So the publisher here is Microsoft. The name is Excel Mobile. I'll just type in Excel Mobile for Windows 10 devices. And I want that to be categorized as a productivity app. And I also want to display it as a featured app. Now, before we continue on here, what I'll quickly do is jump away from this environment and show you that virtual machine over in another location. So in this case, we've got the Intune managed Windows 10 client. And if we take a look at what's installed on here, if I just do a search for the company portal. So I've already installed the Intune company portal onto this, and this is something that we can get a hold of through the Windows Store, or alternatively, not a topic for today, but this is also something that you could assign to users via the business store that's also part of Windows Store now. So that's loading. We can see the organizational information there. And we can see at the moment that Word is listed in here. And if we do a browse by category and productivity, okay, all we've really got in there is, you know, Word and that link out a web page to a website for Microsoft.com. So we can get out of that for now and go back to that other virtual machine. And we'll say that we want to add that logo that we just downloaded. So there's that Excel logo. So we'll add that in. I'll just take a second to upload. Now I only want to push that out to Windows 8 or later devices. I'll just verify that. And now we'll upload that information and we'll hit close. And then probably being a little bit impatient if we're sort of going back out to that other machine now, but let's do a quick check. Because given time, that will go through and actually appear back in that other machine we were just in. So let's go back over. We'll get out of categories. Okay, and it hasn't appeared in here just yet, but this is something that within a short time period after it has gone through and done, actually, it won't do it yet because we haven't actually deployed the app. So let me do that step first. So sorry, I forgot a step there. So now if we go in and take a look at the apps that we've actually got. We should now see Excel Mobile. And what you'll see here is that Excel Mobile isn't deployed. So let's manage the deployment and choose who we want it deployed to. And I'll just be lazy and say, let's add it to all users. And the deployment action is, we want it to be an available and install for everyone. And I'll click on finish. Now we can see that it's changed to being deployed. So let's switch machines again. So hopefully you're not getting dizzy watching the machines switch back and forth. But if we go back to categories again, we're being a little bit impatient because it can take a few minutes for these things to come through. But this is one of those things that within a very short time period, what we'll see in here is that we should actually see Excel Mobile appearing in here as an option for something that we can actually start downloading. So we'll keep going with the presentation because we're getting short on time, but you know, within a couple of minutes, we should see that, you know, in featured apps or browse by category, we should see Excel sitting there once Intune has done that updating. So let's jump back now and take a look at the next and final portion of today's presentation, which is around using the new image configuration designer for Windows 10. So when we think about some of the scenarios that this was built for, this is really some of the things that it's built around is, you know, what happens when new devices are brought to you inside your organization? So traditionally you may have done a wipe and reload, but what if it's just an end user's machine that their laptop or their tablet that they're bringing into the office and they want you to do some configuration of that? So you start thinking, oh, what do I do? Do I put my own image on it? And then, but what if we, you know, do we put our own image, but then what happens if the person leaves the organization, et cetera? So there are a lot of different things that, you know, can potentially go wrong here. And, you know, you take a look at some of these things, it can be expensive, it can be complex, there can be compatibility issues because the chances are you can't just use one of your standard images. You've probably got a variety of different drivers, et cetera, you might need to research and add into it. So the green balloon here, I wish there was an easier way. And that's where the concept of runtime provisioning comes in. So you can go through now and do the configuration of new devices without having to do re-imaging. So the user can just bring a device in, or even if these are devices that you're thinking about, you know, that aren't going to be, you know, or they can be domain joined, but something where you're just working with the base image the OEM provides rather than going through and building it out from scratch. Now, probably one of the most critical things here for larger corporates is, you know, one of the reasons why they may have always done a wipe and reload with an operating system with new devices was the old devices may have shipped with, or probably did ship with Windows Pro Editions. For example, they never would have really shipped with Enterprise unless you were having custom images applied. But now you've got the ability to go through and do things like an in-place upgrade from, you know, Pro to Enterprise, for example. Or for people using the education version of Windows 10, you've even got the ability to do an in-place upgrade from a home edition up to the education version. So, you know, so some pretty good features that you've got there. So this works consistently across mobile and desktop with Windows 10. You don't need network connectivity for this because effectively you can go through and say, well, look, I want to put it on an SD card for a phone or on a flash drive for a PC or tablet, for example. And it's very simple, and I'll walk you through the process of using this. And this can happily work alongside a lot of the existing technologies that you're already using. So what we do when we're using the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer is we go through and we create a provisioning package or a PPKG file. And I'll show you one of these in just a moment. But this is a package where we can include a variety of settings, a number of different profiles, and additional assets. So if there are certain things we need set up, etc., these are things where you can sort of start bundling everything into this one package And then, you know, depending on the security level required, yeah, start thinking about, well, do we need to encrypt it? Is a certificate required? So these are some of the things that we'll talk about. So we can take the settings, we take that profile information, we take the appropriate assets, and then we get that PPKG file. And then the asset binaries can be included in the package. So if it's something that is quite small and you just want to distribute very easily out on a, you know, just out on a, you know, an email link, for example, you could do that. But the other thing you can do is you could also start referencing some of those assets. So files you want to install, applications you want to install via a URL instead. So when you're setting up a new device, you can go through and during that first run experience, you can go through and you can click the or tap the Windows button 5 times, and that will allow you to go through and then start pulling the package files off the SD card or the USB drive, depending on whether you're talking about desktop or mobile. And with mobile, you've also got the ability to start pulling this information in via NFC as well. But what I'll show you here is by the second option, which is more likely in a lot of scenarios where people will bring a machine to you and say, I'd like it to have this, this, and this. I need VPN profiles. I need the Wi-Fi certificates installed. This is where we can go through and do it and start doing it during runtime. So this is the scenario that we will focus on here. Now, the other thing here is that you can also embed the packages in the image. So if you are building new images, you could have a variety of different prepackaged files sitting on the machine. And depending on what the user's requirements are, they may pick and choose which ones are appropriate to add. But obviously, you need to provide the appropriate guidance around that. So let's take a look now at some of the settings. So for provisioning, the way we can get access to this is under Settings, Accounts, Provisioning. We can also do it through Work Access. So there's a number of different ways we can get access to this. And all we do is we go through and we choose the option to add a package. And then once we select to add a package, we can then select where we want to add it from. And if removable media is detected, such as an SD card or you know, a flash drive, that's where we can go through and say, okay, choose that. And then it will look in that location and say, well, here's what I found. And if we take a look here, some of the ones that it's got here, you know, some of them, you know, without even understanding what's inside them, you've probably got a good idea in terms of what's in them just from the naming. So wallpaper probably applies a default wallpaper to the machine. 9-digit PIN means that users might need to apply a 9-digit PIN to their device, which they may not be too happy about. And the final one, allow camera. So it may be a device where you may want to prevent users from using a camera, for example. So there may be certain security requirements that require that to be enforced. So we can then add the package. We can then, you know, select which package or which packages we want to add, and then we can do that. So users can go through and they can start installing the packages. They've got the ability to go through and, you know, view the details of the package in terms of what it may change, and also the ability to go through and deleting a package. So if you do delete a package, then that will go through, that will remove the settings, the profiles, and any of the apps that it contains. So that if you think about it as being a nice, easy way to, you know, to roll things back to how they were before you started adding the provisioning packages. So in the case of bulk enrollment, what you'll see here is that the important piece of this is, if we take a look at this package effects, applications, certificates, the user interface, and security configuration. So let's spend a few minutes now talking about the things that can be provisioned, because you'll see in a moment that there are quite a few options in here, but yeah, we'll talk about some of the top line ones as we go through. So let's take a look here. So we can configure initial setup. So what that initial out of box experience is like. I've already mentioned the edition upgrade, so that if we wanted to go from pro to enterprise, this is something that is very easy now. Or if we want to go from home to education, again, something that's very, very easy. The ability to start pushing out the appropriate corporate certificates, the connectivity profiles for VPN, for example, or what about email profiles? These are things we can also start adding in. What if we're using an MDM solution? Can we easily go through and add the MDM solution into this as well? And obviously these are things we can do. We can roll AppX packages in. We can put in you know, shortcuts to start deploying Win32 apps. So there's quite a bit that we can start pushing into this. So, you know, we'll talk about some of the important ones over the next few slides. So for the edition upgrade, we can just easily specify the license key for edition upgrade, and I'll show you this one in a minute so you can actually see it in action. So no need for re-imaging. So if you think about those brand new devices that you pull out of box, they've got a bunch of configuration by the OEM, a bunch of custom utilities that take advantage of, you know, the different function buttons, for example, all the drivers that are required. This is a very easy way for you to take it from that pro image up to an enterprise image very, very easily. You know, just a matter of minutes will get you there. Now, we can also go through, we can change the computer name because we don't want some random computer name. Yeah, we really want it to be something that's more related to our organization. So we can go through, we can launch applications after the first run experience. We can start adding in additional user accounts. So if we want to add, you know, local domain admins, for example, into it so that if the user does bring the device back in, that they've got the ability to go through and do the appropriate management as administrators. Now, I've mentioned when it comes to, you know, MDM, we can go through, we can do MDM enrollment, we can do domain join, the ability to go through and start looking at things such as, you know, starting to enroll with Azure Active Directory as well. So these are the types of things that you can start leveraging here. Now, you can deploy line of business apps that have been signed with a company certificate. You can, if you've got store apps with business licenses, you can deploy them. So this is something that can be, you know, very, very easy for you to go through and start using. Now, for Win32 apps, in this case, you know, doing it via an MSI package, if you've got a headless device for some reason, you can go through and just run a script to execute that setup, as well as the ability to execute PowerShell scripts. So how does this work? Well, if we take a look at how it works alongside the other management and provisioning options Microsoft's got, if we take a look at the provisioning engine, it talks to the common device configurator, which then talks down to the MDM configuration service providers. So in this case, the functionality that it's exposing is aligned to the type of functionality that Windows would normally be exposing to an MDM solution. But in this case, it's also exposing some of that initial setup capability, which an MDM solution wouldn't really be getting access to. So it does give you a lot of flexibility in terms of what it can actually configure. So I've already mentioned that if we are going through and starting to put sensitive information into this, such as usernames and, you know, pre-provisioning usernames and passwords, for example, if we're putting in organizational certificates that we don't want getting out there, we probably want to go through and make sure that these are encrypted. So we can have an automatic encryption password generated for us, or alternatively, we can go through and we can also start enabling package signing. So if we've got a certificate that we want to use to sign that, then we can go through and use that approach. So when we are using digital signing, you know, important things here is that you will get a warning when you are installing a package. So the packages can be digitally signed. It asks you, are you sure you can trust this organization? And we'll see this as we go through. But signed packages can be installed without the security warning, because if it's something where it can verify the chain of trust and it knows that it's okay, then it's not going to prompt the user and give them a warning when it doesn't need to. But you can also do things like set policy on the device to only accept signed packages to make sure that people aren't trying to send rogue packages around to try to get users to install them. So in this case, the example they've got here is the mobile package will change device customizations, etc. But in this case, it's an unsigned one. So it's asking you for additional permission before it goes ahead and does that. So now for the final demonstration, let's take a quick look at the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer so you can see that in action. So the first thing we need to do is just take a quick look at the tool itself. Before we do that, however, what I will do is just let you know where you can download that from. And this isn't something that you get directly from download.microsoft.com. Instead, you have to grab it from MSDN. And if you do a search for download the Windows ADK, it will take you to this page, so you'll find it easily. And it will go through and give you two options when it comes to installing. It will either give you the choice, you know, you'll get the choice of either doing an installation directly onto the machine or allowing it to go through and pull down all the binaries and keep them locally. So maybe if you need to copy it to a file share so that multiple users can then do installations, or if you need to manually install it on multiple machines, it also makes it very easy for you to do that. Now, the Windows ADK does include a variety of different components here, including the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer. But yeah, that's really all we'll focus on for the sake of today, because we could spend a lot of time on the other components that are included. So let's keep going now and take a look at the tool itself. And I'll just maximize this so you can see everything that's in here. And first up, if we just take a look at all settings, so you can just get an idea of, I'll just minimize everything to begin with, and then we'll start expanding out. So you can see all the different types of things. So, you know, if we need to add additional drivers, languages, etc., how we want to work with, you know, adding additional Windows updates, adding additional accounts into the system. So things like the computer account, the OU, you know, setting up assigned access if we want to just limit it to certain apps. I've already mentioned things like, you know, the ability for you to start, you know, adding certificates in, so that if you need certificates for Wi-Fi, etc., or for certain apps to run, these are things you can start adding in. Now, under the connectivity profiles, this is where you'll see things like the VPN, Wi-Fi, you know, your wireless LAN and email accounts can also be configured. So again, there's a lot of functionality you can get through here. Now, other things as we go through here, the different options for device management. So if you want to start using different management capabilities, we've got those in here. Now, the one that I'll demonstrate here for you today is this one here, which is the upgrade edition with product key. So obviously that's not a working product key, but if it was, you know, that's something that we could use to do an upgrade. So those of you who've got you know, your MSDN or volume license subscriptions, you know where you can get your enterprise keys from. And the way that I can go through and work with this is I can either take all of these changes that I've made, I can push it out to a USB device, I can push it to, you know, to a removable drive, or I can go through and just export it directly as a provisioning package. So if we take a look at this one and we say, we'll call it upgrade to admin, and actually we'll call it, be a bit more specific with the naming, we'll call it upgrade to Windows 10 Enterprise from Windows 10 Pro. And here's where we can start looking at things like encryption. So what you'll see here is that you don't get a choice to replace the encryption password. Basically, Microsoft is giving you, you know, quite a strong password there. So, you know, no common usernames or phrases, for example, in there. So we can encrypt that, and then we can go through, choose where we want to save it to, and it will go through the process once we click build of going through, and then we can take a look. So if I want to take a look at the project folder and the output location, let's take a look at what it's got. And in there we can see the project, and down here you'll see the cat file, as and you can also see a misspelled upgrade, and the, in this case, the runtime provisioning tool. If we take a look at that and open it up, you'll see that that's that PPKG file format that we've been talking about. So as the final part of the demonstration, let's switch across to a Windows 10 Pro machine. So let's jump across back to where the virtual machines were, and we'll take a look at this one. So in this case, first of all, yeah, we'll just make sure that it is actually Windows 10 Pro, because otherwise, okay, that's good, Windows 10 Pro. Otherwise, you know, if it was already Enterprise, trying to upgrade to Enterprise wouldn't really help. Now, in this case, you can see it's very easy for me to go through and, you know, just in Work Access, add or remove a management package. Now, if I choose add a package and I want to choose removable media, and here's the upgrade to Enterprise. So this is one I created earlier, but this one actually has the real product key in there. So for obvious reasons, I'm not putting a real product key in for demonstration purposes. Now it's asking me, do I want to allow this app to make changes to the PC? And I'll say yes. And again, because this one's not signed, and also I didn't put a password on this one just to keep the demonstration simpler, what you can see here is that, you know, it's asking me, is this a package from a source I can trust? And because I created it myself and I've been in complete control of it, I'll say, yes, let's add that in. Now, this will take a few minutes to go through, and, you know, we'll just give it enough time so that we can actually see the initial process kick off. And then what we can do is take a look at that. So here we go. So it's preparing for the upgrade. This might take a while. So this is going to take a few minutes, and we're getting pretty much right on when we need to finish up. So what I'll do now is, you know, we can see that this is happening, so we can switch away from that and back to the presentation. So before we move on, so we've covered off the in-place upgrades, we've covered managing devices with or managing application deployment with Intune, and then also showing things around, different ways of, managing images, in this case without having to keep images, just by applying updates to images that have already been provided to us via the OEM. So we've seen a variety of different things in play here. So how do you keep up to date and where do you keep going for more information? So first up, I'll just give a plug for my own website, which is www.intunedin.net. And this has got a strong focus on Windows 10 and Enterprise Mobility Suite, which includes Microsoft Intune. And from there, one of the things that I've referenced repeatedly during this is the Windows 10 Deployment and Management Lab Kit. So this is a virtual lab environment that you can download. It requires, a Hyper-V with Windows 8.1 or Windows 10 or Windows Server environment. So you can get these virtual machines up and running very simply. And that gives you a fully functioning System Center Configuration Manager scenario like we worked through, but there's a lot more that you can do with it. So I've only covered a couple of the things that entire environment can do. All up there's 7 or 8, guided labs that you can walk through that give you a really good indication of the different ways of you can build new images using the MDT or using Config Manage to do the in-place upgrades, etc. So there's a lot of good information if you grab that Windows 10 Deployment and Management Lab Kit. If you're not familiar with the different deployment tools, use that kit as a starting point to really get familiar with the way that you can go through and do Windows deployments. And the final resource for today is the Windows 10 for IT Pros. So you can just go to technet.microsoft.com, ENUS Windows DN 798751.ASPX, or alternatively, if you just do a search on your favorite search engine for Windows 10 for IT Pros, you'll get that turn up for you. So not try to overload you with links, because once you go to these locations, they've all got a lot of additional links that they will provide for you, depending on what it is that you need. So with that, it brings us to the end of today's webinar from the presentation and demonstration perspective. So what I'd like to do is, make sure that, that we'll be hanging around for another 30 minutes on the Q&A. So make sure you've signed in, that you're posting questions. But also importantly, make sure that you do go to AKAMS Win10 webinars, because we've still got two more webinars to go that will be covering off Windows 10 security as well as Windows 10 mobile management. So make sure that you're signed up for those so you can get a broader understanding of the different things that Windows 10 can do. And for those ones, I'll be jumping into the Q&A session rather than presenting. So make sure that you join us again next Thursday and the following Thursday so that you can see the latest information on those topics. So the final slide that we've got here is just making sure that that you do go through, you have signed in and ask questions. I've mentioned we'll be around for another 30 minutes or so. So I'll jump into the forum now and take a look in case there's anything that's been assigned to me. So if you've been waiting for answers on things, it may be because I'm the one it was assigned to and I've been presenting, so I couldn't answer it. So I'd like to just thank you for jumping on the call today. Hopefully you've got a few things out of it. And I look forward to looking at the Q&A now that I've finished and joining the calls over the next 2 weeks. So thank you very much for your time.